Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Melting away.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Lots of messy weather disasters around the country right now, and that puts a fine point on something that's got Congress scrambling. The federal emergency loan program that helps people hit by natural disasters is about to run out of money. From Washington, Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
We're talking about the federal government's biggest disaster loan program, run by the Small Business Administration. The program's in trouble partly because of poor planning. The Small Business Administration decided not to ask Congress for administrative funds last year. And critics say the agency didn't plan well for Hurricane Katrina either. Marianne Lewis is a small business owner in New Orleans.
So they would give you $10,000, and then you would be forced to wait and submit a lot more paperwork and invoices.
Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez, the New York Democrat now chairing the House Small Business Committee, says Congress won't let the loan money run out, but isn't signing a blank check.
It's not going to be like in previous Congresses. There's going to be measurements and oversight.
For example, Congress may try to bypass the bureaucrats and have banks distribute the loans. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Bargain shoppers, beware. Investigators say this could be the country's largest case of stolen data. They're looking into a security breach at the retailer who runs TJ Maxx and Marshalls. The New York Times says tens of millions of credit and debit cards may have been compromised. Big trouble at the Beeb. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
8 national TV channels, 5 national radio stations, around 50 local ones, as well as a clutch of websites. The BBC is a vast and expanding media empire. It's owned by the state and financed through a form of taxation, which brings in around $6 billion a year. The BBC had been hoping for a 6% increase, but the British government's given it a 3% raise instead. That's around $700 million a year, less than the BBC had been banking on. Director General Mark Thompson says it's going to curb the BBC's expansion plans.
Although we have to make difficult choices, I don't want the public to think that this means there's going to be a fall in quality. It means that some of the things we would have liked to have done, we won't be able to do.
He won't say exactly what they are, but the BBC's commercial rivals are celebrating. Many of them face falling advertising revenues as the BBC, in the words of one analyst, wallows in a vast pool of public money. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
For the first time in over 20 years, we're using less oil than ever. The numbers from the International Energy Agency show consumption is down. But down is relative, under a percentage point. Forget those pricey science journals. Debut your cure for cancer in a blog. From the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
More than 100 journalists, scientists, and teachers are coming to the blog conference at the University of North Carolina. The goal is to get more people to think of blogs as a tool to communicate about science. Bora Zhivkovic helped organize the event. He says science blogs accomplish a lot.
Debunking pseudoscience, fighting against anti-science and science popularization, hoping that especially kids who are online all the time will bump into science blogs and see cool stuff and get excited about science.
Zhivkovic was one of the first researchers to publish data using a blog, a trend he predicts will become more popular. Conference attendees will learn how to start a blog and how to use one to collaborate on scientific exploration. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com.
Batter up! What you use to hit the ball if you're in high school is the subject of this next report. Marketplace's Amy Scott explains.
On a chilly winter afternoon, Philip Romero coaches a little off-season batting practice at Christopher Columbus High School in the Bronx.
Now, when you get to this part of your swing right here, you should either be able to see the label or not see it at all, all right?
That's it.
That's exactly the sound. That's the one you want to hear.
Romero wants that wooden whack to be the only sound a bat makes in city games. The New York City Council is expected to vote soon on a bill that would ban the use of aluminum bats in high school games. Romero says it's not just that he prefers the old-fashioned crack of the wood bat to the of aluminum. He says a ball hit by a metal bat travels faster. A pitcher doesn't have as much time to react. A few years ago in Montana, an 18-year-old pitcher was struck in the temple by such a ball and died. Others have been seriously injured. Romero says metal bats aren't allowed in the major league. Why should high school players use them?
It is more dangerous. It's less aesthetically pleasing. So why?
Well, for starters, aluminum bats tend to be lighter and more maneuverable. That makes it easier for small players to hit big. Opponents of the ban say aluminum bats are also cheaper in the long run because, unlike wood bats, they don't break. Jim Darby is vice president of promotions for batmaker Easton Sports. He says one academic study showed that non-wood bats were faster and therefore potentially more dangerous. But he says that study was conducted years ago, before high school and college sporting officials adopted tougher safety standards.
None of those bats would be allowed today in high school or college baseball. So there are no studies that I'm aware of that do show that bats today, non-wood bats, outperform the best northern white ash wooden bats.
New York City Councilman James Otto doesn't buy it. He sponsored the proposed ban. Otto says the tests officials use to measure a bat's so-called exit speed don't accurately reflect game conditions. He believes aluminum bats still hit faster and harder.
Kids are being placed in harm's way for no other reason than money. This started as a $100 million industry. It's well in excess of $200 million, and that's why they're fighting so vehemently today.
The industry is fighting more and more battles lately. New Jersey and Massachusetts are considering statewide bans, and when high schoolers in North Dakota head back to the Diamond this spring, they'll be swinging only wood. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
On Wall Street Thursday, markets were down. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.